Shindig glue. Let's get this shindig glue on the road.
What?
Hi, I'm Beth.
And I'm Sammy.
And you're listening to Going Home
by Grubby Little Hands.
Welcome, Grubby Little Fans.
Yes. On today's episode, me, Beth, I'm the one doing it. I interview my friend Sylvia, who is someone I met here that is promoting art education among the government schools and kids who normally don't have access to art. And I just love her vision, and I'm so excited that everyone gets to hear her talk about it for herself.
So, without further ado, here's the interview for you.
So first of all, how about you just tell everybody who you are and where you're from and what you're, where you live now.
Okay. My name is Sylvia House. I'm from Zimbabwe, but I married a Malawian, and I stay in Malawi. I live here in Malawi. Who am I? I'm also a mother to 5 kids and a grandchild. I come from a family of 4. I'm the firstborn and I'm the only girl. That's what I would say. That's who I am.
Okay, so since you came from Zimbabwe, but you're now in Malawi, would you say that Malawi is your home, or Zimbabwe is your home?
I would say Malawi is my home now, because from where I come from, once you're married, where you've married to, that becomes your home, which is vice versa from Malawi, because then Malawians, like my husband's culture, is the man who goes to the wife's place. He's supposed to be in Zimbabwe. He's supposed to be staying at my house. But then where we come from, we do the paternal way. So I call this home.
Okay. Do you ever miss Zimbabwe, though?
A lot, Bethany. Mm-hmm. I miss home. And oh, I miss the other home.
So it is home.
Yeah, you know, there's a proverb in Africa that says home is where you belong. So even if I call Malawi my home now, as in I'm building it as a home for the family and all that, but you know, there's that echo that still says home is Zim.
Mm-hmm.
So I miss home. I miss my original home, I'll say. Yeah. So yeah. I think I have 2 homes. I have my original home and I have my current home. Yeah, I miss Zimbabwe, and because it's also close, time and again, we go to Zimbabwe back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay, that's good. So, at least you can still visit. What I call original home, I call it my home.
Okay.
So, when I talk about America, it's my home. And here is my home now.
Okay.
So, but original home, it's the same thing.
Yes.
All right. Well, I guess since I already know you're passionate about art and recycling and the literacy, but the people listening probably don't know that, but I'd like you to share how you discovered your passion for these things. I'm asking about art, recycling, and literacy, but if you have other passions that go along with those that I forgot, you can share about that too.
Okay. my passion on literacy, I would start with art. It's because I have worked with kindergarten or nursery schools from as long as I remember starting to work. I've started working with nursery schools and kindergarten. And whenever we are teaching in those areas, half the work is art.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow I just started liking art. Unfortunately, I didn't do art at school at all. And when I was at school, I didn't even think about art, actually, because I was not good in drawing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like it. I didn't like it. But when I started working in the nursery schools, there was a lot that we had to do to make things that the kids could see and relate to what we were teaching. And it kind of made me to realize that it's good, though I didn't like it, but it was good. And down the line, as we were making the things, I never realized that we were recycling, because we would collect things to make and use.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, by then, it was not like recycling. We're just thinking, oh, I can't buy this, so let me use this.
Yeah.
But then later, as I taught in the nursery school, when I was in Blantyre, I met somebody who was coming from the UK, and the owner of that preschool had done the Jodie Phonics, and it was a very good way of teaching kids how to read.
Mm-hmm.
And when she trained me how to use the Jodie Phonics, I also started tutoring other kids, and I noticed that not many Malawians loved to read, and the reading culture is very, very poor.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of then make me realize that I think there's a need to promote, you know, the passion of reading, the passion of kids learning to read for pleasure, not to read because you've got an assignment,
yeah.
Not to read just because you have to recite a verse and say in church, but to read to learn and know more things from the books.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what made me now to combine the three. Now yeah. I realize that, okay, the art that I am now doing a lot, because as I was teaching in the nursery schools, I had to kind of do something to make my earnings better. So because teaching in nursery schools, it made me kind of link to the whole family of the kids that I'm working with.
Mm-hmm.
And parents would ask us to help the other children with either their homework. And that was for me to earn extra.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they had the holiday breaks and they don't know what to do with the kids. So sometimes parents would be like, can't you do something with the kids?
Anything.
Anything. Yeah, so I started organizing art workshops.
Yeah.
And I think when I started, I was doing crap because I'm not sure if I knew what I was doing, but kids tend to like it.
Yeah, they don't care.
They were coming, and I remember we were doing beads and we were making anything. And sometimes we do painting and we just paint glass or paint anything. And I noticed that whenever I didn't have a workshop, parents were asking, when is the next?
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So that's what brought the passion. And I saw it that I think there is a need.
Mm-hmm.
And I later had my child. And I saw that there really was a big need, because then I couldn't take her to any art school, any,
oh, yeah.
You know, when I started now digging deeper that, okay, apart from me just making ends meet,
mm-hmm.
do we really have art schools? And I then later noticed that it's just the international schools or the affluent schools that can do art. Most yes. schools don't do it.
So after nursery school, they kind of just stop doing anything art. And what kind of teaching is it? Just listening?
In most schools, yeah. In most schools, when kids go to nursery, sometimes they all come and have a bit of the art, which is not even good enough,
mm-hmm.
because most schools find art very expensive, so
yes.
they kind of run away from it. But when they go to schools, if the child doesn't go to an international school, that means that art which had started who just die along the way because they mm-hmm. hardly do it in the government schools and in some private owned schools.
Okay, so that's why there's a lack of art, mostly because people think it will be expensive. But you're showing people that it's not expensive, right?
Yes.
And that's through recycling?
Yes.
Okay. So, also I was wondering about reading, because kids learn to read in school. So, and there is a library, so why don't kids ever want to read for fun?
Well, reading here in Malawi is not as good as it is in other countries, because most schools don't have the libraries at the school.
Oh, true.
We do have a national library. For instance, in this city, we have the national library. But where the national library is located and where the potential readers are, there are two different places, because yeah. you find that the National Library is in the city center and it's surrounded by the residential areas which parents can afford to build a library for the child yeah. in the home. Now, a child who needs the national services, who needs to go to the National Library because it's very affordable, it's close to for free, mm-hmm. it's almost like you're taking books for free, cannot go to the library because then they have to meet the transport cost yes. for them to get to the library. So then they don't even go there.
Okay.
So you find here in the city, the National Library is being used by the tertiary people, by people who are in the varsity, who are going there to research. Yeah. And they can commute because they are grown-up people. And sometimes they go there because they want to do a group discussion, or, you know, they want more materials, mm-hmm. or they want to use the computers there and other things. But for the grassroots people, for the kids, the children to go to the library, they hardly go to the library.
Yeah.
They don't even go to the library.
Yeah, that makes sense. Too far away.
Yes.
Okay, so what is your vision for what you can do to help in these areas of art, recycling, and literacy?
My big dream is to bring out, I think the big banner is the recycling, which is to do with the art that I am saying we can teach the kids the skill of art. It's not that expensive when we bring in some recyclable materials. And yeah, there are lots of talented kids here, and they have talents which are untapped.
Mm-hmm.
And I am coming in to say people are throwing out trash, because even the city itself, how they manage the waste is not good. So there's a lot of things which are considered to be waste, which can mm-hmm. be useful to the adding value of the skill to the children. And there are some kids who are even failing to collect the trash that can be ideal for using. And there is the other end of other kids who are well-to-do, I'll say,
mm-hmm.
who are throwing the trash that the other end can use.
Yeah.
So I'm coming in to kind of collect the trash from the other people who are able to afford a cereal box.
Yeah.
And to a child who cannot afford cereals. But the cereal box, instead of burning it or throwing it away, taking it to the other side that mm-hmm. can use it to make something, to do something with it. So I am coming in to kind of marry these yes. two worlds and say, at the end of the day, the other child who cannot afford can be helped to have a skill. Those are the people that I have a passion for, to say, even when it comes to reading, if I could afford, or if I could be able to do a mobile library that gets in the schools that are in their areas, you know, the library gets to where the people are,
mm-hmm.
then they can borrow the books through the schools that they go to and run some activities that they can be doing to make sure that they love reading, because they will do a lot of research, they'll do a lot of, you know, reading and maybe writing competitions where, you know, the literacy, I know it just means learning to read and write, but the literacy that I'm talking about, it goes beyond just learning to read and write, because they still read and write in school. But yes, to carry it as a passion and to make them discover deeper things and more things through reading, through, you know, and passing it on to other generations, I feel like if we could start with these little ones, if we could start with the young ones, then they can run with it. They can, yeah.
And so you want to provide just books available and then ways to make kids excited about books, which there are so many different things you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the whole picture I have when you explained the kids who can afford art supplies, they're the ones throwing away cardboard and plastic.
Yes.
And the kids who can't even afford the cardboard and plastic, especially not art supplies, you can just take the trash from the wealthier kids.
Yes.
And use it as art supplies.
Yes.
For the kids who can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
That's so great. So all you have to do is collect and transport,
mm-hmm.
and then provide, you know,
mm-hmm.
instruction. So you want to have a location, right?
Mm-hmm.
To have workshops, and so people can come and learn about the recycling, but you also want to take it out.
Yes.
To people who can't come.
Yeah. And I also, I'm not sure about how in the college when the teachers are being trained, because it also looks like we don't have specific art teachers.
Oh,
that's
true.
The other thing. So you find that I can be a teacher in a class and I've never been taught anything about art, even the theory part of it. So it would be even difficult for me to teach the kids art if I have no idea of it.
Yes.
So it can be in the curriculum, but I'll just skip it because I can't help them.
True.
So that's the other thing that I've been reaching out to people like you, Bethany, to say, can you teach some of the teachers the basics? So if we are to have a center or a place where they can come and we show them that we can do 1,000 things with a tissue roll paper,
yes,
that means they are getting the knowledge and they're getting ideas. And who knows, maybe we could also have some workshops where we are training them more about the art.
Mm-hmm.
And that also applies to literacy. You know, if we could have programs that can make the reading interesting,
yes,
you know, and like how I know how they do it in international schools, that they have maybe the book week,
mm-hmm.
or they can act a certain book. So that means you're marrying the literacy, because here are kids acting a book. So it's not just the fine arts. It's also the visual arts, in the sense that they're going to maybe recite a poem or do a dance that's explaining this book. So somehow it can all marry, and even the attire that they are wearing, they can make out of the worst.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can collect things and make things that they could use as the costumes for whatever they want to display. So it can all somehow marry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we also need the theory part of the art teaching, So
training teachers is another thing to do.
Exactly.
Yeah, which I really enjoyed doing that one time.
Yes.
I would definitely do that again.
Yes.
If I'm able.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us what you are currently doing to reach these goals?
Okay. Currently, as of now, I've been making art kits at home, like the thing that I've been doing 2 minutes ago. But because of this pandemic that just came up, it kind of disturbed all the plans that we had. But what I have been doing, I've been organizing workshops where I've been getting into schools and explaining to teachers and training some of the teachers, a bit of the little that I know. And I also had big plans that we could have bigger workshops. And I've also been collecting the worst from my church. And it has been more like a collecting place where people have been bringing it at church, those that remember. And then I have been trying to make models or things that I can show that with this thing you can make that. Yes. And then people can expand from this one idea and then they can do a lot. So that's what I was doing. And I was happy because there was so much support from church, from my church members. And this was just church members. And because I also have, I'm in the community for homeschoolers. So I also had other homeschoolers who were collecting trash and asking me to come and collect. And it was all coming up to the extent that I was thinking my living room is not going to be to be big enough. The only thing that has kind of hindered it is because of this pandemic that have just come in, because I was going in the direction of registering it as a project and acquiring a place and get more people involved and get more people to know. That's what I've been doing to make sure that we promote. And I've been to the National Library, and I've also learned that there is the book aid out there, and it can help us with books, but through our library.
Okay.
So that could also help us on the literacy side of it. But I've been running more with the art and recycling more than the literacy. Right now, I haven't done anything beyond just to learn what's there at the National Library. But with art, I have done a lot of workshops. I had kids that I was doing art with after school, more like an after school program. Yeah, so that's what I've been doing.
But you've been doing a lot.
I love it.
I know you're so busy all the time.
I love it.
You didn't even mention your birthday parties. Birthday party business.
Oh my God. And it's all recycling, Bethany, because we make piñatas. And yeah, whenever we are hired to entertain kids at parties, I have been selling the idea that the kids can do an art thing. So most of the birthdays, and I think you attended the other one where we had kids painting.
Oh, that was
fun. Yes. So I've also been taking their trash along with me to parties and having kids to, though I don't call it trash anymore, me they are supplies, they are art supplies. So I have been making piñatas, and most of the time when I'm making piñatas, I use old cardboard, I use newspapers. I only buy the crepe paper, and sometimes I use glue that I can make. That's the other thing as well.
So you have so many talents. And you keep adding more, which is so awesome.
I play with kids.
How have you seen God help you or lead you as you work towards this big vision?
I would say God has been faithful. To start with, for me to know you, it's because of God.
I know.
It's because of God. And God has his ways, which are way beyond our ways and way beyond our thinking. I never knew that I could be doing what I'm doing today, but he has sent people in my life that has made me realize that I can do this thing.
To encourage you.
Exactly, to encourage me. And I have taught in nursery schools where sometimes you even forgot that I met this parent, and sometimes they'll call you and they're telling you the child is asking about you.
Oh, wow.
And for me to look at it to say, Bethany, I am not a trained teacher, you know, to start with. That's God. For me to be able to train qualified teachers, that's God. Because I don't think I could do it by myself, but I think he wants me to do this thing, and he's been sending people. He's been raising friends who can stand with me in this whole thing, because I don't have funds to do this thing, and I am not stopped because I cannot afford it. Mm-hmm. I just do what I can at the time that I can. And I have met, I think you remember Cindy and Fred.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they saw me having a small workshop at church with the kids. And they said, we have lots of kids at our place and would want you to come to our place. So God has sent people that I didn't even apply for.
Yes.
But I have seen God sending people to encourage this whole thing. And I keep praying that I should see it taking off the ground, because right now it's still bits and pieces lying all over. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something that I'm praying that God, can you please bring it all together so that it will be something that we can show. Because right now, I'll tell you, I've done a workshop there, I've done a workshop here. We don't have like a stabilized kind of project. So God has been faithful. God has really been good. Even at church, the other workshops that I've done there, they've given the place for free. Oh. And I was charging some of the parents to bring in. So that's God being faithful, because there are other people who could have gotten that privilege. But here I am, and I know there are art qualified teacher out there who could be doing what I'm doing, but
he chose you.
I'm telling you. And there was also another time when the recycling team in Lilongwe, the ICCM, they do it at a corporate level. They chose me to have the kids' corner and entertain kids when they were launching their waste transferring center in mm-hmm. Area 3. And they called for me. First, it started off as an offer to make a piñata for the kids. And then they said, do you think you can entertain the kids when they come? And yeah, and we ended up having some recycling activities that had to do with games and everything. And it's all to encourage, and then people started talking about it, and
so God keeps sending mm-hmm. people and opportunities mm-hmm. that you're not even looking for.
Uh-huh.
That's really cool. This kind of goes along with that question. What keeps you motivated throughout all of this, especially when things seem like they're not going anywhere, or like when COVID happened, it seemed to stop everything? What keeps you motivated?
Okay. I would say the very thing that keeps me motivated in this whole vision and dream is I don't struggle to do it.
Hmm.
There are times when I've thought, maybe I'm going nowhere. Let me look for a job. But when I do that, I struggle, and it frustrates me a lot.
Mm.
But when I'm working on this, it has its ups and downs, but I don't get that stress. I don't get that that frustration. Like, for instance, this pandemic has happened. A lot of privileges have come along with it. You know, it's not a good thing that we have COVID and everything is going on. But because people out there knew that Sylvia does recycling, you know, I got a phone call and somebody was like, I've got some old umbrellas here. Do you think you can do something with them?
Yeah.
And yeah, we've kind of revamp
mm-hmm.
That thing. And It has been all because they know that I love art.
Yeah.
So when you talk of art, people start thinking of designing. People start thinking of making things. Mm-hmm. So they're like, do you think you can make this? And I always say yes, even if I cannot.
And then
because
you do.
I learn as I'm learning to do it. And then you find that I can find somebody who can do it, and we can do it together.
Mm-hmm.
Like these umbrellas, I've done it with the tailors who can do it, but they have been doing it under my instructions that we need to make this, we need to make that. And it then motivates me that this thing has to be reality. It has mm-hmm. to come all together. It has to be something that has to be, it has to have life. Yeah. You know, it has to have continuity, that it has to have ongoing. It has to continue and stabilize and grow. Mm-hmm. Yes. But it has its ups and downs, because sometimes you meet other people who take advantage of you. Along the way, I have found people who have taken advantage of me. I've been to places where I've done some workshops, and they get to, not the credit, but they get to upgrade their organization on their account of me, and they don't pay you.
Yeah.
You know, I have been in such situations where someone is asking you to do it, and you think you're doing it for a friend, not knowing that for them it's business. And sometimes I have other people who have taken advantage of me by taking my idea or asking me things, and I'm saying as if we are going to do it.
Yeah.
And then to my surprise, they are doing it ahead of me and without me.
Oh my goodness.
So I have had such people, you know. So
yeah.
Those are things that sometimes when it happens, you're like, I think this is not for me. But
yeah.
Then when God sends people who kind of dig you and say, we are looking for you for this, you're like, no, mm-hmm. I think this is for me. Yeah, so yeah.
What advice would you give people coming from other countries
mm-hmm.
that are coming here to help Malawi? Because a lot of expats come here
mm-hmm.
not really knowing anything, and they just want to help. And sometimes they can be really unhelpful. But I was wondering what your advice would be.
Mm-hmm. I would say Malawi is a virgin country. I am saying it from a Zimbabwean point of view,
mm-hmm.
To say I have done things, like I think I said it at the beginning, that sometimes I was doing things that I look at today and I'm thinking that was crap.
Yeah.
But I got away with it. Why? Because I didn't have a competitor, you know, because those services are not there.
Right.
So even if I'm not doing the good thing, people mm-hmm. think that's good, because to tell you the truth, I had birthdays where I'm face painting and I have no idea of what to paint, and I'm just putting a circle on the child's eye,
mm-hmm.
and the parents are going, wow, but I can't explain what it is.
Yeah.
You know, but then because I saw, there's a need
mm-hmm.
for entertaining the kids, that means I started Googling, I started looking for how to face paint, and I
yes.
think I've been learning also from you
mm-hmm.
how to face paint and how to do that. But because when I was doing it, not many people were doing it, so it was like I'm doing the best, yet it was the worst.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But there is so much that people can offer when they come to Malawi, because Malawi still has a long way to go. Why am I saying, I'm saying it as a Zimbabwean point of view? I didn't do art at school, but had it been that I did it, because Zimbabwe offers that.
Mm.
And when a child is schooling in the government schools in Zimbabwe, they are given all the privileges of, if you're good in sport, your sport will be nurtured, you know.
Oh.
But here, athletics is not done in government schools,
right.
You know. And even this art is not done much
mm-hmm.
in government schools. So that means the child is just going for math, for English and science. And when you don't make it in those areas of academics,
yeah.
you then look back and start thinking, what else can I do? So for Malawi, because they don't offer that, that means there is a lot to offer,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially to the kids who are growing. If I compare with Zimbabwe, I know people who are earning their living because they are good in sport, and people who are artists and who has taken it further, and
mm-hmm.
they have earned a life out of that. But here, the mentality has been go to school and get work, you need to be employed. Mm-hmm. There haven't been that encouragement of saying you can do whatever you want to do here. Yeah. That encouragement is not there. So I would advise to say Malawians need more of that encouragement that there is life in art. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're an artist, don't be shy, because for a long time, people believe that an intelligent person is the person who's good in maths, who's good in science. But guess what? I can be intelligent in art, and that's where my intelligence is.
Yes.
Yeah. And I've seen a lot of Malawians who can do carving. I have seen a lot of Malawians who can make things with their hands, but they haven't been taught how to make that. Yeah. So that means they have the inborn thing. They just need the theory side of it.
Yes.
And if people are to come in Malawi and kind of promote and help, then we have better artists. We have better, you know, whole person. Like, we have
more well-rounded.
Yeah, not that people just waiting to say, if I finish school, I need to be employed. You know, if we are teaching the kids craft, who knows, maybe after school they can be making things and earning a living out of what they're making with their hands.
Because there aren't very many jobs.
Exactly.
So if you can't find a job,
uh-huh.
We need to be teaching people how to do other things, create their own work.
Yes, yes, yes. And not to be shy with it. Because mm-hmm. the other thing is, here in Malawi, people really like to be given things for free. You know, but we want the new blood, the new generation, to also learn to say, you know what, you can do what you want to do. You can be what you want to be. You don't have to sit and wait, you know. Also that they can also be givers. You get what I mean? Because it's just a bad spirit where you think, I cannot do this because I haven't been given that. But I can do this with what I have.
Yeah.
That's the spirit that
I
encourage. Yes. That with what I have, what is it that I can do? Yeah.
That's a great point. Mm. So how do we encourage kids to think that way of maybe I don't have all the materials, but I can still do it? What do you think will help with that?
I think this art and recycling can also open their eye to say, it's not for you to go and buy the art supplies for you to do the art. You know, you can go around the bush and pick things that you can do art with. You know, it's not also just about buying. You can also make. You know, we can make glue. We can do that. And usually if you visit some of the workshops, I think you've seen it, we give the kids things and say, make what you think. So it also helps them to kind of solve problems, you know, to say, okay, if I have stones, what is it that I can make with stones? If I have twigs, what is it that I can make with it? So we promote kids to be thinking, not to be told what to do with what they have, but for them to think, what is it that I can do that could look good, that could be useful with what I have.
Yes. So, yeah. And that helps, I think, in all areas of life, because you know, life, well, God will give you things and you think, oh, this isn't enough, but then you just have to look at it differently and see how you can use it. And that comes from learning art. Well,
exactly.
It helps anyway.
It does.
That's what art helps with.
It really does. It really does. And the other thing that I also feel that most schools are not considering is, in every subject there's art.
Yes,
in science, there's art. In English, there's art. In in geography, there's art. But most schools tend to ignore art and think, it's just for drawing, or it's just for... But actually, it can make you think. It, you know, it is in,
yes.
in, And to begin with, God is the greatest artist because exactly. He created different people, He created different things. And yeah, and you look at how things are changing, furniture change, designs, thing. It's all art. So mm-hmm. art is everywhere. Even in cooking, there's art.
Yes.
You know, if I
all
put...
creating.
Exactly. So it's all about creativity. That's the
yes.
word. It's all about creativity and... yeah, art brings creativity. Good, it makes you to be creative in
all areas.
Yeah, in all areas, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Every time I talk to you, I get so excited about art again. Because sometimes I always love art, but I forget that teaching art is so important. And I mean, you remind me every time why I became an art teacher in the first place.
Oh,
because of.
Lovely.
Problem solving and
mm-hmm.
creativity, it helps
yes.
your whole life.
Yes. And it takes out a whole lot of stress.
Mm-hmm.
It also brings out a whole lot of who you are.
Yeah.
Because when you're doing art with kids, they can express themselves. They can express things that you don't think they think.
Yes.
You don't think they know. And yeah, so it's
yeah.
I think artists are the most genius people in the world.
I think so.
Because the other thing with art that I have noticed is they create something out of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You're given a blank paper and you're supposed to draw things and you make something. You draw a picture which was not there and you're seeing it in your brain. You know, that's intelligence.
Yes.
That's yeah.
It's
so
beyond intelligence.
Exactly. So, yeah. Art is supposed to be embraced.
Mm-hmm. That's always what I want. What I wanted my students to understand is mm-hmm. even if you made a mistake, that's something that never existed before and now it exists.
Mm-hmm.
That's really great.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, and next time with art, you can always do it again.
Exactly.
So you could not make the mistake next time.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always another chance.
That's
which
true.
Is really great.
That's
I mean,
true.
Maybe not in a 50-minute class, there's not time for another chance, but in life. You can always make another one.
Yes. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Thank you so much for letting me interview you. I'm so glad I have this now to keep and listen to again and share with people. Because I've been trying to explain to my supporters how awesome you are.
Oh, thank you.
But I feel like I can't really explain it.
I'm awesome.
Yes.
Thank you, Bethany.
Oh my gosh, Sylvia is so cool.
Thank you.
And she has such awesome ideas, and now they can hear it for themselves.
Thank you so
much. From your own voice.
Thank you so much.